This is the Horse Radio Network.
Taylor Harris Insurance Services. There for all equestrians, amateur and the professional. For all types and all breeds. No matter what discipline or level, Taylor Harris is committed to excellence in serving you and protecting the horses you love. Taylor Harris Insurance Services, your worldwide equine insurance specialists.
This is a Plaidcast. I'm Piper Clem, publisher of the Plaid Horse Magazine. And today on episode 221, I am joined by co-host Sierra Pace Malta, who is the director of the Plaidcast and subscriptions department here at the Plaid Horse. Please rate and review the Plaidcast on iTunes. 5-star reviews help people discover the Plaidcast. And if you enjoy our conversation, please share it with your friends.
The Plaid Horse Magazine presents the Plaidcast, the leading weekly podcast for hunter jumpers everywhere.
Welcome back to this side of the Plaidcast, Sierra.
Thanks for having me.
So for those of you who don't know me in person, if you've met me in person, you probably know I'm not the most organized person on the planet. And so Sierra is the one who actually books all the guests and makes sure that they know what time they're coming on and they feel warm and fuzzy. And yeah, those are all things I'm not good at. So I'm very grateful to have her partnership in getting the podcast out every week.
I love doing it. It's very fun. And it's not that you can't do it. You just do 10 million other things. So I enjoy being the organizer and the person that pokes people and and anything I can do to help, I love doing it.
So you are spending this winter at home in Connecticut. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's actually been a winter for once in like 3 or 4 years, maybe. We've had very light winters up here. So everybody's kind of been a little bit cranky, and we've done a lot more shoveling and plowing and snow blowing. So that hasn't been super fun, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel. It's about to get lighter out later, which we love. And we've been showing mostly at Old Salem Farm in North Salem, New York, this winter, which we're very grateful to have been able to do with COVID and everything, but it's very close to home. It's about a 30-minute drive with the trailer, so we don't stay over. Our horses stay in the trailer because we're only there for a few hours at the most. It's been going well so far.
Awesome. And you ride with your mom, which I always thought was incredible, but I just got in a fight with my mom last week as an adult, and we have nothing stressful going on, so I definitely can't even imagine. I love my mom so much, but there's a lot of personalities involved.
Yeah, it's not easy all the time. I mean, I've been riding since I was 4, but like riding. But yeah, my mom has been doing horses like her whole life. She did junior hunters and jumpers. As a junior, she went to horsemanship school. That was a very popular and prestigious thing to do when she graduated high school, and she learned all different disciplines of riding, which I think is amazing because I really only have knowledge in the hunter world, which is fine. And I, you know, I've chosen to stay in that ring. But yeah, I mean, she has huge wealth of knowledge, and it's really amazing to spend so much time with my mom. I have so many friends and other people that I know that don't have that opportunity. So it's just great to be able to share like one of the biggest parts of my life with her every day. It's challenging. I mean, it's challenging no matter what trainer you ride with, but at the end of the day, I know, you know, if we do argue over something, it's because we're both so invested and we both want it so badly. So it's kind of amazing, and I'm grateful for it.
For sure. Well, shifting gears here, we have Archie Cox on today's podcast. Archie was on Tanya Johnson's Inside Your Ride version of the podcast about a year ago, and I'm really excited. I spend the winters in California, as most people know, and so I get to see Archie, I would say, most days during circuit, and it's always been amazing to watch him teach and watch all the different action he has going on at the horse show. I mean, it's quite the operation.
And being someone from the East Coast, he grew up over here, and I'm sure he'll talk about that because he talked about that with Tanya too. But, you know, the only time that we really get to see the California trainers and riders is in the fall during indoors when everybody comes over to this side. But if you're somebody that's active on social media, you probably have seen Archie's account or his barn's account and know that he's very active on social media. So I think that's going to be, we're going to talk to him about that. And I think that's like a really interesting thing that has gone on in our industry, because I wouldn't really know much about him if it wasn't for following his posts on Instagram, you know?
Absolutely. And, it's so... I think having to come east for a lot of the major competitions, you know, they, a lot of the California trainers are very competitive with each other all year long. And then, you know, definitely in the fall, they all work together to make sure that all the infrastructure from California comes with them, you know, braiding and shipping. And, you know, it's, we all, I always want to kind of highlight this part too, but we all from the outside see how super competitive this sport is, and it is, but it's also, at the end of the day, everyone's sharing jumps in the schooling ring and chatting and joking, and we're all in this together. And so I think the East Coast trainers don't end up having that in quite the same way, because there's not this big trip every year that they kind of all take to prove themselves, not that they need to, but it sometimes feels that way at indoors, that, you know, the Californians got to make sure that... The East Coast people know that the Californians are there.
Oh, yeah. They have plenty of beautiful hunters that beat a lot of the East Coast hunters. So, for sure, they are amazing, even though they're all the way over in California and we only see them, you know, at indoors. But, yeah, I mean, it's a huge group, and I don't know many of them personally, nor have I been able to spend a lot of time around them. But, you know, I think a lot of what I've learned has been, you know, listening on podcasts. And like I said, like following how they post like their programs on social media and the winnings that they have. And you get to see the rounds that they post. So I get to see like what the horses look like, how they ride, how they approach like different courses. And maybe are they handier, you know, on some horses than maybe we would be here. Maybe they're more bold than us, you know?
Yeah, it's really interesting to kind of see both sides of that. And one of the questions I get asked a lot is about thermal competition versus Wellington. And I was asked this weekend when I had dinner with some parents. And what I always say to people is the top horse at thermal and the top horse at Wellington could go head to head any day in any competition. But I think the way that the East Coast is structured, that there's more depth and quality at Wellington. So I think the eighth place horse in Wellington is going to beat the eighth place horse at thermal in a very broad generalization. Mm-hmm. But what comes back to indoors and what we see, at kind of the championship Devon indoors level, is that those best horses from the West Coast going head to head with those best horses from the East Coast. And it's just incredible competition.
Yeah, it is. It's so fun to watch every year.
And it's also like, I think as the horse shows have changed a little bit, and I'm excited to talk to Archie about this, is how clients have changed, how you have, you know, kids doing more rings and more going on and more at a younger age. I think that for better or for worse, people used to focus on the equitation and hunters a lot longer before they kind of moved into the jumper ring. Now we're seeing a lot of very young riders in the jumper ring and kind of these more monumental shifts in our sport of just how approach and structure and how we make horses fit in today's world, where they are less and less part of the average person's life and more about hobby or, you know, luxury market.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree with that. I see so many of the young riders that used to maybe just be on, you know, a pony until they were, well, when I did ponies, everybody stayed on ponies till they were 18. Now it seems like kids are in the jumper ring by like the time they're 12, and the big eck ring, and, you know, they're everywhere, and it's changing quickly. I think like over the past couple of years, I've seen a definite shift over on the East Coast for that. So yeah, it's very interesting.
And I would say California led the charge on that. There were not many ponies on the West Coast, and kids were on horses at a very young age. And we're seeing that shift that's kind of always been out here reverberate through the country a little bit, because it makes more sense for some people where they are right now.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So we're going to take a quick break here and come back with Archie Cox.
You know how hard it is to keep a secret, right? The Legends Horse Feed line has a big secret. Exciting things are coming to one of the most trusted lines of horse feeds and supplements. Get ready. We can't wait to share the news with you in April. Be sure to check out legendshorsefeed.com and our social media channels next month for more news.
Archie Cox is a top trainer and judge and the owner of Brookway Stables in California. As a junior rider, Archie placed in the AHSA Medal and APCA McClay Finals before riding for the equestrian team at Drew University in New Jersey, where he won numerous awards in the IHSA. Archie has coached over 45 students to national championships. His junior and amateur clients have gathered multiple medal finals wins, and Archie is also currently the president of the Pacific Coast Horse Show Association, the PCHA. Archie serves on the board of the Washington International Horse Show, as well as various USHA and USCF committees and designations. Welcome back to the podcast, Archie.
Thank you very much. I look forward to another episode.
When you were on last year with Tanya Johnson on the Inside Your Ride podcast, you talked a lot about your approach on training, which is to really kind of keep things simple, enjoy every minute, and be grateful and prepared. When we see you at the ring, you're always confident and calm. Did this come naturally to you? Were you a confident rider or trainer, or did you really have to kind of explore that journey a little bit to get to where you are?
Oh, I, like many riders and trainers and coaches, I have come a long way in life. I am still, I would say, excited, nervous, anxious. I always want it to go well. And if I try to dot my I's and cross all my T's, I come to the horse show to show off what I know how to do. And that has come through years of practice, of repetition, experience, of showing, of understanding the butterflies we all get. Many years ago, 25 years ago, I worked for Karen Healy, and she said when she gets up to the in gate, if she's not a little bit nervous, she knows it's time to retire. And every time I go to the ring with a student or on horseback, I am always a little anxious, a little hopeful, trying to be positive. You want the best outcome. And that's natural in all of our riding and teaching, because we want to do well. And as a rider and a coach, that minute and a half or 2 minutes you have in the ring, you've worked so hard for. So being prepared for it really helps you. And I've learned, I'd say, through being not prepared and letting nerves get the better of you. That's something, as a rider, I want to go in the ring and say, well, gosh, I can do it at home. I can do it in the schooling ring. I've done it a lot. Now I know I can do it. And you have to go in the ring with that attitude. Like, I'm going to show off what I know how to do. And I may look 100% comfortable, relaxed, but my mind is always going. I'm always thinking, what little tip can I tell someone to make the round even more seamless?
One of the things you mentioned there is understanding, and I think that's something that's really interesting in our sport, that especially in the hunters and equitation, we're being judged on a standard, and so you get a lot of people who sit there and say, well, why do the same people win all the time? Like, does that mean that something's unfair? But one of the things I try to remind people is that, you know, certain people are better at teaching to the standard or performing to the standard. And I think understanding how the sport works is step one in performing to the standard of the sport.
Yeah, understanding what class you're going in, what you're looking for. I have been a judge for over 20 years. I've been a steward now for 9 years. And I've been a trainer for, 30 plus years. I know what the judges are looking for. I know what to show them. I know when people walk in the ring, neat, clean, organized, they get right to work, that makes me happy. Because I see they have a respect for the sport, for their horses, and for the horse show. They come up to the gate ready to rock and roll. And that's something that everyone has the ability to do if they stop and look and try to learn, why is it that the gray horse seems to win all the classes? Or why is it that a certain trainer does well? Well, generally that is because producing time after time at the top of the sport or the top of the division, they're bringing the winners to the ring. They've taught them how to do so. And as a trainer, I worked for Karen Healy for 8.5 years, and Karen produced winner after winner after winner in the hunters, the jumpers, and the equitation. And I owe so much of my success to her and the other top professionals that I was exposed to. And now with social media, with different online courses, so much more of that is available to everyone, which is fantastic.
Absolutely. And I think that that's such an important thing. And something else you said there keeps coming up on the podcast over and over again, that you worked for Karen Healy for 8.5 years. And almost every top professional we have interviewed on the podcast was an assistant or worked for someone for at least 5 to 10 years before they really went out on their own.
It's really incredible. Experience is priceless. And I often say my time with Karen Healy, I would do again in a heartbeat. It was, I would say, 99% amazing. And in any job, in any sport, there's going to be that 1% that's not working or that is sort of a negative. But if you can say you love your job or you've had a 90% return on your investment, that's astronomical. That's huge. And I learned so much of how to work with customers, how to work with horses, sort of the do's and don'ts of our industry, of respecting other professionals. There are very few young professionals that hang up a shingle and make it to the top. It's the ones that work for a well-respected barn. They're the ones that generally succeed. There's the occasional outlier that makes it in spite of everything, but generally speaking, working for someone, that's the route to go. When I started my business 21 years ago, I looked around and I said, okay, I'm competing for people's leisure dollars, and junior riders and adult riders are all making great sacrifices in their families. I want to do everything that I can do to fulfill their needs and present the best picture myself. I stopped smoking and drinking when I opened my business. I said, it's an outdoor athletic sport. Why am I smoking? What parent wants to put their child around a smoker? I mean, in today's age, it's common sense. No parent wants their kid around someone smoking. It's bad. And same thing with drinking. There are enough other ways for me to get in trouble. I don't need to add alcohol in the mix. And I look back at my business and I have a great time. So those are two things that really, I looked around and I thought, what is attractive to parents and for children? number one, no smoking. And I had a, I must confess, I had a bet with two other people, and we owe each other $1,000 to whoever smokes first. And the three of us are so competitive, none of us will ever smoke again. we're not losing to one another. So that's it's a little bit twofold, but being competitive, I'm not going to lose to them. And none of us have, and we're all better for it.
Absolutely.
But yeah, when you go out on your own, and after working for Karen Healy, Missy Clark, Andre Dignelli, anyone, any great trainer, you get a certain level of respect that you've earned. You've earned that through the test of time and being part of successful teams.
And Archie, I wanted to ask, because you keep touching on the point of respecting other trainers and having worked for other trainers. You give a lot of clinics all over the country to riders who ride for other trainers. How do you structure your clinics for people that you've never seen ride before and who may ride in a very different program than what you offer at home?
I enjoy giving clinics. I have given clinics all around the United States, and it's something that walking into a ring of new horses, new faces, I walk in with the attitude, everyone is here to learn. They all want to be here. Some have fancy show horses. Other have horses that go in the hunt field. Some are learning how to jump. The ABCs of riding, the fundamentals of riding remains the same no matter what you're doing. John Donhockle used to ask Stephanie every day before she got out of the car what the goal was. And this echoes in my mind all the time. And the goal of riding is to have the rider on top and the horse on bottom. And no matter how many classes Stephanie won, her dad would remind her, that's the goal, rider on top, horse on bottom. And when I enter an arena, I have generally some idea of the levels. They may say we have a 2-6, a 3-foot, and a 3-6 group. And good riding is the same in Kansas as it is in Washington, as it is in Massachusetts or Florida. Good riding, good teaching, a system is solid around the country. It's the American style of riding. And horses, although they have evolved some, we have more warm-blooded horses, which are colder than a thoroughbred. Horses remain the same. People's arms, their bodies, their legs, they remain the same. And those, the exercises that I do in clinics, it applies to all of them. It may depend on the degree of difficulty. But if you want to turn a horse right, pull in the right rein. If you want to go faster, squeeze. So I walk into what I call stranger danger, all new faces, but I know in clinics that everyone is there wanting to learn and wanting to get better. And had different people, you can approach them a little bit differently, and I can get a pretty good sense just watching them warm up, watching them trot around, speaking a little bit with them, what approach to take, how willing they are to learn. If some people are a little resistant, I remind professionals in clinics that I am there to help them make their horses better for their students. So that would, the important part is I want eventually that rider to be able to school the horse so it's better for the owner. So that there's always a goal at the end of the lesson or the end of the school. What can I do to help that professional make their horse better for Piper? or for Lauren or Stephanie. And I enjoy doing that. I get great satisfaction seeing people learn, helping them improve, allowing them to love horses as much as we all do.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break here to hear from some of our sponsors, and then we will be right back with Archie Cox.
Brought to you by Ariat. Ariat show clothes and boots are developed to suit the needs of world-class riders and equestrian enthusiasts alike. Providing advanced technology to give you the ultimate in performance, Ariat products help keep riders comfortable both in the saddle and on the ground. Visit Ariat.com/theplaidhorse to take 10% off your first order with email signup. Terms and conditions apply.
Established in 1981, Peterson Smith Equine Hospital and Complete Care offers some of the most advanced therapies to keep your equine athlete performing at their best. Staffed with 30 veterinarians, Peterson Smith is your vet 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. From their first response ambulatory team to their hospital specialists and full-service fertility center, Peterson Smith, located in Ocala, Florida, is equipped to take care of any of your horse's needs. We're back with Archie Cox. So, Archie, tell us a little bit more about how you see social media affecting our sport. You've been early and often to embrace it, and I think you use the educational tools of it a lot, but it also really impacts business, barn atmosphere. You know, I think unfortunately social media highlights a lot of negatives of our sport or tendencies maybe competitive horse people might have, at the same time that it is a huge tool for opening our sport up for education and learning and people wanting to experience life outside their own personal bubble.
Social media has so many benefits with education, with better understanding, communication within our horse industry, bringing different disciplines together. Those are all things that social media, the benefits. And whenever you have benefits to something, you will also have negatives. And as long as the positive weighs out the negative, you're doing things great. Social media and different online courses are incredible. The number of top trainers that do different, whether it's Bernie Traurig's website, Noel Floyd, the Plaid Horse, there are so many different avenues for education, it's outstanding. And then within that, you'll also have the critics. But if you put one, if you put out a positive, you have to expect some positive and some negative. There are good sides. There are great sides to the sport, to our sport. And then there are negative sides. And often problems can get what I call a snowball effect, and they're a small problem or an old issue can become a huge, overemphasized issue. And that happens, and that's part of it, and how you deal with it, and how different people can sort of ignore it. It's so tempting and so easy to often sit at home on your sofa and type a reply or make a comment that you have nothing to do with, has no impact on a person, but they think, oh, I can voice my opinion here. And that often happens in an anonymous way. But I would rather look at all of the benefits of learning about the event world, the Arabian world, the reining horses, having the ability to watch those things, watch different horse shows. The Arabian National Horse Show in Scottsdale just finished about 2 weeks ago. Being able to see some of that and realize the magnitude of the horse sport, and it all revolves around the love of the horse. the number of blacksmiths and leather goods, saddles, veterinary care, all of those things encompass a huge industry. And all the good that comes out of the Equus Foundation, Brooks International, the amount of education and the desire to help horses that we see on the internet is huge. And there may be things that are criticized about any of them, or about our sport, about dressage and saddle horses. There will always be critics, but the internet, social media has given us such a broader education of the love of the horse. My husband, Jorge, often puts up the bad rounds because they happen. So many of us just want to put up a blue ribbon, a picture of a beautiful horse, all decked out nicely with all the expensive items, which is great to some, but a picture of a horse in a pasture can be as or more beautiful. And a advertisement to help save starving horses and give them veterinary care around the world, that's incredible. And that industry, or that foundation that does that, does such great work. And most of us wouldn't know about it without social media. It's a really good thing. Hard to see starving horses, but it happens. There are probably starving horses within a 100-mile radius of most top horse shows. But social media brings it to our attention, brings organizers together to help save those horses, to help fund underprivileged riding academies, to help handicap riding associations. And that's huge. In the horse show industry, so much is just, oh, I got a blue ribbon, I won this. But for all of those, even if we see one non-for-profit a day, it keeps it aware, it keeps us in the front of our minds. And what can we do? We're going to the horse show to show our fancy horse, to watch how Ian Miller and Archie Cox and Missy Clark do it on Noel Floyd. And we can stop and think, maybe I can give $10 or $100, make some donation. And that's something that social media allows us to do. But my husband, Jorge, when he puts up his bad rounds, it happens to all of us. They happen in learning. You make mistakes. You often learn from your mistakes. It's always what you learn after the fact that matters. Social media has broadened everyone's horizons around the world. And it's great. What children today have the ability to see and to watch is so much education. It's outstanding.
But with that said, one of the things I do on my social media is whenever, there's something negative or something that's hard to read, I sit there and I say to myself very consciously, like, would I call this person and ask them for advice? And if the answer is no, then it's a big step for me to say, then why am I internalizing what I'm reading? Are there any things you do that help either translate to the younger students in your barn or yourself? There is a negative blowback.
There will always be negative comments, negative remarks, pictures and comments that make people want to react. And I often say the best reaction you can give is no reaction. And I say to myself, everyone is entitled to their opinion. Everyone can say as much or as little as they like on the internet. And as I say, there will always be good and bad. And it's a matter of sort of holding your hand still and not responding to things, people are happy to argue on the internet. I am lucky that I don't engage in that. And I say, well, everyone has their opinion, and I have the option to respond or not respond. And there will always be negativity, and it's easy to sit at home and type something without putting your name to it, so to speak. Yeah, I tell people, well, that's one person's opinion. It maybe doesn't mean it's right or wrong. It's their opinion. And hopefully, I say, you're strong enough. You know what's right and wrong. Most people know what's right and wrong. You know, regarding different people's opinions, I often say, well, I wouldn't ask that person's opinion for free. So I'm just going to keep reading. I don't need to stop and give it much thought. That's a good way to look at it is, would I ask that person what they thought of my horse to start with? If a chestnut horse with a lot of white, or a horse with a belly spot, and, oh my God, your horse looks like an Appaloosa, it's a Pinto, and I just say, oh, well, thank you, and move on. Because that's what they think my horse looks like. I think my horse looks pretty good. I'm trying to think if I have any horses with big spots anywhere or something like that. I like my horse. I'm pretty confident in my decisions and what I do. And I'll often just, if there's a criticism, I say thank you and move on.
I think we can all agree too that we love the sport, and I think there is more good than bad that, you know, comes out of everything. And I think there's a lot of good that comes out of the social media aspect of what's happening in our sport. And I just have to say personally, Archie, your husband, Jorge, a few years ago, the first time he went indoors with you, he was posting videos of like behind the scenes, like tours around the horse shows, tours of the ring, when he was in the warm-up when you guys arrived. Yep. Well, let me just tell you, that year happened to be my first time qualifying and competing at indoors. So I had never been at those venues, and his videos helped me visualize where I was going to show before I got there a few days later. So tell him thank you for me for posting those on social media.
And, you know, it's funny, in the horse industry, we hear that Pennsylvania National Horse Show and Washington, and you know, I had never been to Tryon. Watching videos that real people post are so helpful, and you get a better understanding of, okay, this is what the stabling area really looks like. You know, the one snapshot that the horse show might put on the front of their website. But a walking tour is often one of the greatest things.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely helped for visualization for me, which I know a lot of mental skills people talk about. And yeah, just the way he, you know, I remember distinctly like him videoing walking down the ramp into the Capital Challenge ring, and then you saw the ring. And so, you know, I was set to arrive a few days later, so I would think, okay, I'm going to walk down this ramp, and this is what I'm going to see. So I think that's amazing, and that's an amazing thing that's come out of social media and sharing what you're seeing to everybody else.
Yes, it's a game changer for children. The element of surprise has somewhat been taken away by social media. The element of the unknown of what does it look, makes it better, but it also gives you a little bit more immediate gratification or immediate understanding, which is good and bad.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. I definitely just feel, for me personally, that was good, and it was really beneficial, and it's something that I wouldn't have gotten to see, you know, 5 years ago, if, you know, people weren't posting all these things on social media for everybody else to see. I think it's great.
Oh, well, I will be sure to tell him.
Yes, please do. So one last thing. We've been asking top professionals in the magazine and also here on the podcast to share an It Happens story with us. Because as many people know who have spent any amount of time in this sport, that we are riding horses and things do happen no matter how good of a rider and how prepared we are. So do you have a story that you can share with us?
Oh, I think my most memorable story is, I feel like I'm reliving it right now. We're showing in 2001 at Madison Square Garden. It was the last year of the garden. I have a horse, ironically named Archie. And I'm going around in the regular working hunters, the high-performance hunters. And I go to the left lead single oxer, and I chip in as hard as a human being can. I knocked down all of the standards. I mean, we're talking, I basically should have fallen off. I land and hit the pommel so hard, and I go, oh! And with that, I am staring at Princess Fergie and Alan Balsh, and they're like, we made eye contact, bright eyes wide open. And I just go, oh, and I climb back in this because I'm sort of up on the neck, but everything was in the wrong place in the saddle. I get back in the saddle and I look around the ring, and the garden was so narrow. The only way to get out of the ring is to pick up a canter and go to the two stride on the side of the ring, which seemed like I was jumping Mount Everest. Thought, oh my God, how do I get from back in the saddle, because I'm at a halt, looking around. In my first year in business, I'm embarrassed as hell, horrified. Well, I get through the two stride, I come out of the ring, and the owners are there, wonderful Mary and Allison Photo. They're there. Mrs. Shamolian, Aaron Shamolian's mother, one of my junior riders, is there. I get off the horse. I'm completely deflated. I walk up the little steps to those seats, orange seats, blue seats, whatever they were. And Mrs. Shamolian says, I have it on video. Do you want to watch? And it was all I could do not to start crying. And God bless trainers and professionals. And I see Ralph Caristo and Betty Orr later that afternoon, evening at the garden. And Ralph, who I've known since I was a tiny kid, says, he goes, you know, it wasn't that long. He could have gone. It wasn't that long. And I just thought, oh, you're so nice. It was terrible. So that was my clear memory that I can now laugh at, but at the time, oh, embarrassment, shame. I'm looking at the Duchess of York, and I have made total eye contact. She's standing there with Alan Balsh, the president of what was the AHSA, and I'm horrified that I have now grunted that I was punched in the stomach with the pommel of the saddle. And so we all have those moments, but I look back 20 years later and I giggle. So it happens to everyone. And look, turning back, I get in the saddle and I'm like, all the standards are down. Now it was an oxer. There were only four standards, but it looked like a lumber yard. It looked like all the pallets that the shavings come on were piled up. There was wood everywhere. And the Duchess of York. I thought, I'll never live this down. But we went to dinner. We sort of all laughed about it. And I will forever remember Ralph Caristo saying, he could have left. It wasn't that long.
That's amazing.
So we all have those stories. Mine just happened to be at Madison Square Garden. And probably, thank goodness, the internet wasn't really... Horse shows weren't live then. So it's a memory, not a video.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today, RG.
You're ready. Your horse has been schooling great, and now it's finally time to compete. You enter the ring confident, but as you pick up the canter, you suddenly realize that your horse feels stiff and resistant. As you approach fence one, you see you're in for a bad distance. Three strides out, two strides out, one stride out, and you chip the fence. Hard. And just like that, your round is over before you've started. We've all been there, but what went wrong? Training had been going so well, but off the farm, the rules can change. And that's where Perfect Products comes in. While best known for Perfect Prep, their popular calming line, they supply a range of nutraceutical solutions to the challenges faced by high-level performance horses. If your horse struggles with stage fright and you can't figure out why, contact the experts at Perfect Products at 877-324-8002 or www.perfectproducteq.com to assist you in finding the perfect solution. They use only natural, ethical ingredients, so you can use their nutraceutical tools both at home and at the show. You've done the work. Now, enjoy the ride with Perfect Products.
Sierra, thank you so much for joining me back on the podcast. I want to take the time right now to give a special shout out to all of our sponsors. They're the reason we're allowed to bring the podcast to you every week. Taylor Harris Insurance Services, Legend Horse Feed, Ariat, Peterson and Smith Equine Clinic, Perfect Products. And we really appreciate everyone coming together and being part of this educational experience and learning more about the sport and making, you know, what I hope was not that productive time, maybe traveling to the horse show or folding laundry or something into time that we're all embracing our love for the equestrian community.
Yeah, for sure. I've been getting more and more feedback on the episodes as we go each week. So I know everybody has been listening and we appreciate all of our listeners and really hope that, you know, everybody enjoys what they're hearing. And if you have any suggestions, let us know. We always are open to hearing if you have guests that you want to hear from or different topics that you'd like for Piper and her co-host to discuss. Let us know.
Absolutely. And you can email Sierra directly at plaidcast@thepladhorse.com. You can email me too. I'm just not as good at responding as she is. You'll have better luck with her. We love to hear from everybody. And if you ever want a review or something like that to be featured on our website, you can definitely reach out to Sierra. We love ideas on guests and different horse people, especially maybe a little off the beaten track that we might not have thought of, or connections to people who ride who you think that people really want to hear from. So we welcome you to reach out and get involved.
For sure.
Don't you love opening your mailbox and seeing something in there you actually want? Something in there that isn't a bill, political mail, or a donation request? Something you want. Subscribe to the Plaid Horse Magazine and we'll deliver that feeling 9 times a year. That's right, you can subscribe to the Plaid Horse Magazine. That way you'll never miss an issue. Sign up at theplaidhorse.com.
Get to know the riders, ponies, and horses of Show Strides, a novel series published by The Plaid Horse. The books are technically children's fiction, but we know plenty of adult horse lovers who are reading and loving them too. Books 1 through 3 are available to purchase now on Amazon, in paperback, for Kindle, and on Audible. And book 4 will be available this year, 2021. Stay tuned for more announcements about the latest book in the Show Stride series, co-authored by Piper Clem and Rennie Dyball.
You can find links to today's guest and show notes at theplaidhorse.com/listen. You can have all the Horse Radio Network shows with you wherever you go using the free Horse Radio Network app for iPhone and Android. Go to your app store and search Horse Radio Network. You can also listen on iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. Please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. 5-star reviews help people discover the podcast. And if you enjoy our conversation, the best way to share our podcast is word of mouth. So please text it and share it with your friends. I will see you at the ring.
Podcast listeners, it's me, Kate, from Springtime. Today, I want to talk to you about a personal experience I had using Springtime's joint health formula for my thoroughbred Twiz. A couple of years ago, I got Twiz straight off the track, but he never acted like what many people expect a horse off the track to act like. From day one, Twiz was cool and quiet. When I started riding him, he was so quiet that I often struggled to get him going. Twiz was always obedient, but somewhat less than eager to work. I decided to try him on Springtime's joint health formula. The improvement was almost immediate. While he still remained quiet, he now had a lively trot, easily went forward into the bridle, and was more comfortable with trot poles and jumping. Since then, he just got better. This is one of the many reasons I confidently recommend joint health formula to customers who are looking to give their horse a high level of support using a natural product. To learn more about joint health formula and all of our other great products, go to springtime.com or give us a call at 800-521-3212.